where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, past the stacks.
I would
on a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scary Cats, our horror show here on Everything Unscripted. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer.
And I am Mindy. I'm Pluto Melanoma growing. I think every time, guys, I do this, I scare Daniel just a little bit.
I can't see.
I see the jump. I see the jump. So
we'll be here to review the new Candyman movie.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about there. We went to see it at the theaters last night, like promised. Wait, does this count as your pick or mine? Am I picking
I think
next week?
This is my pick.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we counted this as mine.
Okay. All right. But we got a lot to get into. But first, make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday after AEW and SmackDown. Their 10 o'clock show on Fridays now is going to be the Hollywood Hangout, their movie review. I know they're me and Boxman are in talks. He wants me to come on for a little bit, maybe do some stuff. I'm still thinking about that, if we can make that happen.
Yeah, because he's a huge schedule, guys. You have no idea.
I do have work the next day, so I would like to do something like that, but I know those crazy bastards like to go a couple, 2-3 hours sometimes too, so we'll see what we can do there. We also got Unscripted Unlimited, our second show. We'll talk about the Big Brother recap, UFC, any nerd shit that came out that week, the new Suicide Squad movie we've been kind of talking about, you know, Robert Pattinson's Batman we'll be previewing. And of course we got this show. Hopefully you're here with us now. Sundays at 3 p.m., the time usually never wavers, only sometimes.
And we have a Facebook page, too, guys. Go to it, like it, share it.
Yeah.
Help us out. Come on.
Yes. Make sure to follow that and check us out here at 3 p.m. on Blog Talk. Oh, excuse me. With all that being said, you're a pig. With all that being said, we got the Candyman, Mindy. You were very excited to get into this one.
I already did. I got into the original one before on one of my solo shows. Right, guys? We did that.
Yeah, but you didn't do the remake. It was out. It wasn't
out. Well, no, it wasn't out yet. But I didn't say I did the remake. I just said I did a lot of the history already.
Yeah, but I said you were excited to get into this, the movie.
Oh, well, of course I was. I mean, it is one of my favorite movies because it's one of my first movies that I ever watched when I was little.
And this one was filmed a little while ago. It's one of those that kind of not suffered from COVID, the COVID pandemic.
They held it off.
Yeah, they held it off. It just came out. It's gotten pretty good reviews. It was made on a $25 million budget, and it's actually one of the only movies so far within this new pandemic era that has made a profit. It's only, they made $27 million so far with this
opening
weekend.
But you guys got to remember, exactly, like he just said, it's opening weekend. Like they still even have like tonight to go through.
Tonight, next week, the week after. They'll make more money off it.
We'll definitely keep you guys updated.
To have a $27 million opening dollar weekend nowadays is hard to do.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, like even like Marvel movies are having trouble doing it.
Yes.
So it's cool that they at least made a little profit.
I think it's because they sprinkled it that they were going to do it. They like put the trailer on YouTube for a little bit and then they took it back.
Yeah, this is up against some heavy. I mean, Free Guy was doing pretty well.
And then they put another one. So they kept on advertising it, but then ripping it away.
Yeah.
Like, we had a premiere date for this movie, like, 4 times.
Yeah.
So, I will say, hats off to them, though, because whatever strategy they used, it worked.
Yeah. And, you know, written by the great Jordan Peele, the man that's trying to do some different stuff with horror here.
Yes, he was one of the screenplay writers.
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay with a couple other people, and it was directed by Nia DaCosta, who I believe is a friend of his.
But it is still based on the Candyman by Bernard Rose and also The Forbidden by Clive Barker.
Yes. It's based on all that shit.
Yeah.
It's good. I like the movie. My initial thoughts are I like that they kind of turned it into a character piece, and you're kind of watching the origin of a new Candyman.
Yeah.
It got slow at a couple stations there.
It was very artsy, very hipsterish.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because it was supposed to be that way because they were artists. It was just a dark, artsy thing. I mean, and it just sometimes, like, the flashbacks are just a little bit too much. Like, the one with, there's a flashback. Oh, you guys, just so you know, there are going to be spoilers. Okay?
Yeah.
We're not going to hold back here. Spoiler alerts. If you haven't seen it yet, pause it, go watch it, and then continue this.
Well, you technically can't pause it, but come check it out later.
Yeah. Well, shut up. Okay, so, anyways, there's one particular scene where you don't even know it's a flashback. They don't go back to the they don't, like, show any dates or anything like that. Daniel, you know what I'm talking about,
yes.
Most likely the bathroom scene.
Yes.
With Anthony's girlfriend, who was much younger back then, and she had classmates, about six girls, lined up and all said Candyman into the mirror. One Asian chick, she was out. She did it four times and she's like, no.
The theater was dying too.
It was great. I mean, her part was so little, but she did so well.
Yeah, she's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. She's like, no, not today.
Yep, no, not today. And she just ran for the hills. So she was a smart cookie. And so was his fiance too, because she stayed in the bathroom, saw while everything was happening. But when she did come out, all of the kids were murdered. Now, Daniel, I don't know how you feel about this scene, but I don't think it was necessary. I think they could have just mentioned something about it.
Well,
just as easily as... instead of showing it.
Well, it tells you how little it meant because I didn't know it was a flashback till you just said it, and I had no idea that that little black girl was the main character, so.
Yeah.
I guess it does mean something. I didn't even know any of that. I just thought it was another scene that they sprinkled in there.
No, that's why she had a connection with him, guys, because the Candyman started to take over her own father.
Yeah.
And her own life. And she was trying to separate herself from it, even though her classmates were saying it, her father was saying it.
I thought it was good because it sprinkled in some more kills in a movie that kind of needed it. Because there wasn't a lot there for us to sink our teeth into. There was
I love to say the little bit that we did get, like, in the beginning, it was good.
Yeah.
There were some good kills.
I will get into my favorite right now. The douchebag white dude fucking art owner and his girlfriend. Well, hey, I can what was it, what he said? Yeah, I can take being called a bitch. when the dude yelled at him.
Yeah.
He's funny as fuck. I mean, he was meant to be a douchebag, and usually those characters that are written like that and, like, obviously bad, like, you know, like, they're going to get chopped
off. You know they're going. It's only a matter of time. But that's what makes me and Daniel here so anticipated about those kind of kills, because those kind of kills are sometimes the best kills.
Yeah.
Because people are just like, let's just all go with it.
Yeah.
Like, let's just go all balls in. People hate him. Let's let them watch him get his eyes plucked out.
Yeah, and it's crazy because this movie is, like, to me, a lot of the movie is a PG-13 movie. It does not need its rated R rating. But then you have, like, the scene at the end where he's chopping the dude's arm off with a chainsaw, and it's one of the most gruesome things I've ever fucking seen.
Was it a chainsaw or a handsaw?
Handsaw. It was a handsaw. But he still fucking ripped his fucking arm off of his body, and you see the whole thing visually, and you're watching it happen, and then he puts the hook in gruesomely.
Because he was trying to create a new Candyman.
Yeah.
And he realized who Anthony was. Now, Anthony, guys, I know we've gone through the first Candyman a little bit.
Yeah.
Anthony is the baby that I told you guys that Helen Lyle saved from the Candyman in the very first film. Because this movie is actually not a reboot, remake, none of that. It's actually a sequel. They're doing the same thing that Blumhouse is doing with Halloween. So I don't know if that means that we're going to get another sequel.
I think we will.
I hope so. They left the door pretty open. There's only been like four entities of Candyman so far, but there was a picture at the end that showed five.
Yeah. I mean, and it's doing well so far, so, and the critics like it. Like, people have nice things to say about it, and it's doing well for pandemic-ish reasons.
And that's
so.
Really hard to pull off, even without the pandemic. It's really hard to pull off a good box office and good reviews.
Oh, yeah, both is fucking one of the hardest things to do in cinema. But they're making it work. And, like, I mean, it's not the greatest box office ever, but for the, like, a $27 million opening weekend for where people don't want to go to the movies because they're scared, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You got, that's a lot of, that's pretty good cash-in for the circumstances.
I would say.
One thing I will talk about is the wokeness in this movie. And I want to talk about it in actually a good way. Because I was thinking about this, and there are a lot of movies for us, and A for us, and A for our demographic about a bunch of, you know, white teenagers or white this and that. I'm glad that Jordan Peele is making a different demographic for movies and giving people stories that didn't get them before. And I honestly believe that. And a lot of that stuff, and the stuff that they're saying about oppression and about white people tearing down the ghetto and then making a Whole Foods to try to regentrify, it's all true. It's all great, and it's good commentary. Mm-hmm. And he puts it, and it doesn't, and you're only, if you're one of those people that really, like, flip out about that shit, and it's just, like, you're not comfortable in your own skin, you're not going to be that big of a fan of it. But if you have kind of a better mindset, and I'm not trying to be a dick, but
like an
saying,
open mind.
Yeah. And if you have an open, and if you just like look at it from that perspective, and it's like there are so many things in this genre directed towards us, just like, you know, like other shit that we're into. I'm glad that there's more stuff for other people and other, like the fact that there's, you know, the,
and to back that up with Daniel, there's not going to be like a colored psycho.
I think there might be.
I mean, there might be now. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
But back in the day, that stuff didn't happen.
No, because there was a lot of white guys writing the stuff, and they were making it on white people.
Yeah.
And it is what it is, and I don't want to say too much about that, but
yeah,
it is.
We're not really about controversy here.
Yeah, and I don't want to like try to like break down everything, but I am glad that Jordan Peele and there's other people in the industry that are trying to bring different type of stories, because I want to see this stuff too.
Yeah.
I was interested in seeing, like, last night the whole story that went into that. But, like, I thought that was dope.
It was
And it's showing people like us that don't know that shit, that can't relate to that stuff because we don't really know it. But it's nice to be able to watch it and learn a little bit, too.
Yeah.
So I would give them a hats off for that.
I would agree.
I enjoyed it. I thought the acting was top-notch. Anthony and his fiance.
Yes.
Great lead actors. Her, you never knew the whole time that she would be so, well, I guess if you really got the flashback thing like you got.
Yeah, but still even getting the flashback thing, guys, she still very much so is a very strong individual.
Yeah, and she's
and
very.
And you don't really know why.
Yeah.
And but she's also weak at the same time.
Yeah, and low-key. She's
yeah.
a low-key final girl.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because you never thought that, like, I always thought at the end he was going to end up killing her.
Absolutely.
And then go into his descent. But mm-hmm. the fact that she lived and she went through all that shit, the shit with the cops at the end, like, that was great storytelling.
Yes.
And good to leave her off and to see the Candyman, and she summons the Candyman because she sees an injustice about to happen.
Yeah,
and
because
like,
the cops were about to blame everything on her fiancé, and she knew what actually happened.
Yeah.
So she did. She called upon Candyman when she was in the police car. And that was something that she did not ever want to do. Like, he tried to get her to do it in the beginning. She did not want anything to do with it.
Yeah. And
so
I'm glad we're doing this movie, and I'm glad we got a Jordan Peele script, because I'm getting sick and tired of having to shit on every screenwriter that whose movies we talk about on this show.
Even if you get it together.
But he did a fucking phenomenal job, and it's just the dialogue is on point. It doesn't feel forced. Everything about it, the pacing's great, and you can tell that Jordan Peele is a huge horror fan. You just can tell that he loves the source material. He didn't say, let's make a woke Candyman. he went into the Candyman and tried to repurpose it, kind of redo it for a new generation, but also give like nods to us and the people that love what the story is, and like put little other like seeds
Easter
into
eggs.
The story, Easter eggs and seeds to plant different stories outside of it. I thought he took the script and he did a lot with a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Like that was badass. I really applaud the script because it made the whole movie. Like,
and
the visuals
hard.
Are great, but yeah, it is hard,
when
especially
you're doing,
horror.
Exactly. When you're doing a sequel or a reboot, remake, even sequels, even just sequels alone. Normally, I'm going to tell you right now, just like Randy Meek said it in Scream 2 in 1999, sequels suck.
Yeah.
As far as the horror region goes. I mean, we've had a lot. We've been spoiled over the years, and we've had a lot of good sequels.
Yeah.
But we've also had a lot of terrible ones.
Yeah. And it says something to me, especially like as a comic book fan, that like not everyone has always written Batman. There's been like 50 different people that have written Batman stories.
Mm-hmm.
The fact when you can take something that's not your creation, like what he did here, you take like the Candyman and the mythos and you turn it to something else and you put your vision into it and you can do it in a good way and to where people don't shit on it, that's hard to do.
Yeah, hats off to you.
And that's a good thing, because a lot of people take a character like a beloved franchise like this and fuck it up. This
yeah.
could have been fucked up.
This
you thought
well
it was
going to
be for the first
time. This could have been a Nightmare on Elm Street 2010.
Yeah, it really could have. But it wasn't.
I thought it was going to be. He is right.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be at first.
You were getting
in
scared.
In the beginning, they kind of bastardized Helen Lyle's story, and they made her the bad guy. Well, I didn't realize this, but the reason they did that is because no one ever wanted Anthony to know about the Candyman, which makes a lot of sense now. So I will say that it was needed. He did kind of have a connection with her. She is the woman that saved his life.
Yeah, you were just getting a little scared, but start to
but
finish, you
I
see
was,
what it is.
Exactly. Start to finish, it all came together. All the puzzle pieces fit very nicely, and it was a very good presentation.
I agree.
It was more of a film, honestly, than a movie.
Yes.
It was very, very dark, very macabre.
Which, I mean, and if you've seen Get Out and Us and that, like, his stuff, like, this was not directed by Jordan Peele, but it does have his vibes in it all
yeah,
over.
Yeah, you can tell
like that
his vibe was the director.
Because it felt like a big, like, he makes, like, epic-type horror movies,
yeah.
And that's kind of what this felt like. I'm in a big story, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm not in, like, just a run-of-the-mill slasher. I'm in, like, an immersive story.
Because that's the thing. Like, he does make it a story, guys, and he puts it in, like, bless you. He puts it in, like, several different little parts. Like, he sprinkles it a little bit all over the place for everybody. I mean, every once in a while, he'll put a little bit of humor in. I will have to say, there wasn't that much humor in it.
Not compared to his other stuff.
Not compared to the other stuff. I mean, the gay black brother of the girl, of the fiance, he did great. He was really funny, and so was his boyfriend. But, like, it wasn't that funny.
No. They weren't, like,
so
he didn't have, like, a friend from the beginning, like, how, like, you know, his friend in Get Out, the
mm-hmm.
the guy, the not the cop, but the sanitation officer, whatever the fuck. You didn't have a guy like that was strictly like, this dude's the funny guy and he's the comic relief. Like, the brother and his friend, or his boyfriend, were like that a little bit.
Yeah.
And they had some, like, little funny, like, punchlines. But this was, like, they kept the vibe very, like, creepy.
Yeah, very dark.
And I'm glad that, because I think too many jokes probably would have taken away from that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of glad they did it that way.
I agree.
Because, like, I like the funny shit, too, and Jordan Peele's great at it. But I like the... I was more, like, invested in the story so much so to where if I would have got too much, like, humor, I might have got out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah. No, it was very, very, very well done. It was just long enough.
Yeah.
It could have been a little bit shorter, but...
It didn't drag too much.
It didn't drag too much. I just feel like there's a little bit too much filler.
Yeah.
Like the bathroom scene. Because I'm sorry, if you're going to do a flashback with the bathroom scene, Let us know it's a flashback.
Yeah, because I didn't know.
I put some dates in there. I guarantee no one else knew.
And I'm pretty smart with this shit.
I didn't even know. I started talking about it, and he's like, what do you mean flashback? I'm like, well, because you're not in high school. And he's like, that was not a flashback. I'm like, yes, it was. The fiancé was in the bathroom. And he's like, are you? Oh, my God, you're right. I told you.
Yeah, I had no idea.
But a lot of people had no idea. That's actually what critics are actually frowning upon. That's the one thing they are.
Is that one scene?
They, not even just that one scene, but the fact that they did flashbacks, even with her and her dad.
And you didn't really know.
And you didn't really know it was a flashback until after it happened.
Yeah, I'm also cool with that, though, because we're so used to, like, the flashback scene in movies is so played out. With the
it
little,
really
light, like, clouds behind it, or that fogginess, and it's like, this is a flashback.
That's why I love Final Girls. Final Girls make so much fun of that.
Yeah.
We'll have to do that movie.
So it was kind of seeing a nice seeing a flashback in real time. They could have done it a little better, but...
I just wish they would have added, like... 19-something, like, you know what I mean? Like, the date.
Yeah, because the girls, like, they dress like girls dress now. Like,
yeah.
It seemed, like, modern. It really did. And nothing about it seemed like, oh, this is in the 70s or this is the day.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Like, if it wasn't, if they didn't dress the girl up to look so much like the fiancé did already, because they did a really good job of casting the young one of her, you wouldn't have known it.
By the way, there is a mirror right behind my couch, and I've been counting the amount of times that you've been saying the movie title, and I think we're about up to our limit. Because you're not putting no sabotage on my ass, I'll tell you that much.
Guys, he stole my mask. Guys, I had a mask, and then Tony Todd came in, and then my mask disappeared, and I love Tony Todd. Can you please give him a mask back? Like, please? Look me up, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. We can get something going on because she's on a mask.
So I don't really have too much on this. All I would say is how many hooks would you give it?
Well, I didn't say my favorite kill either.
Yeah, I don't even know if I finished my favorite kill. It was
no,
obviously
you did.
The dude.
It was the douchebag.
Yeah, but we kind of veered off before I got the details. All
right, we'll go ahead. Get into the details of your final kill.
But he fucking, the chick, his girlfriend, who like agrees with everything he says, she gets a little sassy, and she's like, we're going to fuck right now. So she chains her to himself, which I felt bad for the poor bastard. But she chains this thing to his pants, and then she grinds up on him, and she says the name of the movie. And she fucking, and then obviously the guy comes out, slits her throat out of nowhere, that's why it's my favorite kill, because I love a good throat slash, a good throat slash out of nowhere. I love that he just came out and just hooked her real quick, and then the dude's running away, the thing's on his pants. But in my head, I'm like, dude, take your pants off. But he's fucking, like, trying to fuck with it. He's trying to get out. The dude hooks his legs. So those two, I'd say, is probably my favorite.
Okay. I mean, like Daniel said, there really wasn't a lot. But my favorite definitely had to have been the police officer at the end.
Yeah.
Because he deserved it. And it was a really good kill.
Yes.
So...
I do got to give my girl Brianna, the final girl, with the how many she fucked that dude up in the eye with that knife at the end.
Oh, yeah. That was good, man. She's a trooper.
Yeah, she gets honorable
mention. I mean, she really does. I mean, she does as the final girl. Like, she has a situation where she's looking for everybody and trying to figure out what's going on, and she opens the door to a basement, and she's like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
And she closes the door. And it's like, it wasn't really funny. It was more like, oh, well, this chick knows what's up.
Yeah, she wasn't fucking around. It's nice when they go against the tropes a little bit.
Yeah. She was kind of like the Randy of this story.
Yeah.
She knew something was going on. Even in the beginning when he was teasing her and starting to say it, she was like, I do not want to be scared of my own damn apartment that I just bought.
But I like how it's also, she's so busy with work and everything and real life shit, which is a real thing, that she doesn't really get to deal with that for most of the movie. So
no.
You deal with Anthony, the unemployed guy, dealing with it, most of it. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of speak like she's just busy. So you don't see her till the second half of the movie. She's got a lot going on with her career. And then you see her career kind of like getting fucked up because she's dealing with all this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just really good.
Well, because he's getting a lot of hate publicity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but he also did summon a guy back from the dead.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like, I feel bad talking about all the kills because we just usually do our best. But the critic, when he left the critic's house and you get that, like that action shot of, like.
Oh, no, 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 his agent.
No, the critic, the white chick.
That was his agent.
No. No, that's the art critic. He went to her house because he was pissed off at her that she, but then she, like, changed her mind about his piece. Well, that's when Kevin went to the bathroom for a minute. But. Fucking, it was like an action shot, like 70 feet away, and you just see her, like, fucking,
yeah.
You walk away, and then you just see her, like, this guy, like, and she's getting thrown at the window, and you see a blood splat across the window.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, it was probably a little bit too much blood.
Yeah.
But it was good for what it was.
And it was such a cool low-key scene, like, he's leaving, and you just see her get fucked up in the back. It's like, this is dope.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was really good, guys. I honestly... We don't really have that much to say about it any more than we already have, because I've already discussed the first Candyman with you guys.
Yeah.
So you basically know everything, except they don't focus on Daniel Robayas that much. They focus on the man that they focused on slightly in the first one, who was the Candyman, who was a part of a gang.
Yeah.
Okay, please don't kill me. Guys, we're going to die. If we die, make sure that you know it was Tony Todd.
We're not facing towards a mirror, so I think we'll be good.
Okay.
But and William Burke did a good job, the actor that played him.
Yeah.
Basically the creepy guy that set everything up and believes in the Candyman and wants that.
Well, no, I was talking about the first Candyman.
No, I'm just saying
okay.
For final notes on what I liked about the movie. I thought that William Burke guy did a pretty good job.
I don't know. I think you could have took him out of it. I don't think he needed to be there.
He made the end, though. The end was creepy, like when he put the hook in him. And
yeah.
He gave a lot of the good exposition and told the stories.
True, whatever. As far as how many hooks I would give this, I would give this movie at least a 7.5. It did its job. Was it the best movie? No. But it was also a sequel. So I'm sorry. If you're a sequel, you are never going to be the best movie.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen for you. I'm sorry. I will never sit here and tell you guys that a sequel is better than the first movie.
Except for Scream 2.
Exactly. Which, it's funny, because Scream 2 makes fun of how horrible sequels are. So I think that's why it goes so well. But I would give this a good 7.5. Daniel?
I think I'm going to go a 7.
All right.
I thought it was a very interesting entry into a beloved franchise. I thought it did a good job at what it was trying to do. I thought it kind of like, it took the Candyman mythos and put a little bit more in there, a little more meat for people that love like looking at backstories and shit for people to sink their teeth into. I thought that was cool.
Absolutely.
I thought it did a lot for the Candyman and for the...
We got a lot more character profile.
It was a nice character piece. And I thought like the transition of Anthony turning into that was just fun to watch. So I give it a 7, and I thought it was a great movie.
It was good.
With that being said, do you want me to tell you what we're doing next week?
Well, you might as well, so they know.
Oh, shit.
He lost our theme song, guys.
We are going to – I know this is going to be hard for you, but it's okay. You'll be okay. We are going to be doing our first zombie movie, and we're going to be talking about the great Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
Okay, I really thought that that's what you were going to say. Because I was like, oh my God, if he brings up Night of the Living Dead, I'm going to kill him.
No, I'm not going that old, but I love Dawn of the Dead. It's one of my favorite movies, and I can't think of a better podcast to talk about it than on this one. So.
Yes. Guys, we've also been talking about expanding Scaredy Cats and whatnot, what we can do, other shows and whatnot. Let me know what you guys think about a little idea I got brewing about horror through the decades.
Okay.
We'll explore other horror movies that didn't really get any recognition that were from a certain decade. Daniel will probably not do it with me.
Yeah.
Because he's giving me that look like, I swear to God, I cannot believe you're adding another one on.
Yeah, how much fucking shit are you making me
say? But I will do this with myself. Like, we'll have a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so expect a lot more from us. We're coming. We're coming to get you.
Oh yeah, but keep checking out with us weekly here. We enjoy our fan base, and it's nice being able to do this for you guys every week.
Absolutely.
With that being said, we'll see everybody next time.
Ta-da!